Welcome back to the Adventure of San Antonio Life Science Innovation Podcast, a podcast where we showcase life science startup founders and innovators around Texas. My name is Tu. I'll be your host, along with my co-host, Jeffrey.
Hi, everyone.
Joining us today is Dr. Elizabeth Jaworski, co-founder and CEO for ClickSeq Technologies, a next-generation sequencing service that's simple and affordable. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here today.
First, I would like to ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little more about ClickSeq.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to be on this podcast. My name is Elizabeth, as you mentioned. I'm the co-founder and CEO of ClickSeq Technologies. I'm also a current biodesign founder at the Texas Medical Center Innovations Program. ClickSeq is a next generation sequencing service company. We're a company founded on some technology that we developed in the research lab and now translated into a commercial viable product, mostly targeted for helping researchers accomplish their goals in determining genomics and transcriptomics.
So you mentioned that ClickSeq is based on something called click chemistry. Can you briefly explain what that is and what makes ClickSeq different from other sequencing platforms?
Yeah, so ClickSeq is a sequencing library preparation process based on click chemistry. So to kind of give a little bit more perspective, I think I'll go a little bit into the history of ClickSeq. So the technology was originally invented by my co-founder, Dr. Andrew Routh, while he was a postdoc at the Scripps Research Institute in California. And he was trying to study viral recombination. And so this is a process by which viruses can rearrange their genomes in order to adapt to their environments faster. But the problem was none of the technologies on the market at that time, any of the sequencing technologies, couldn't provide him with the answers that he was looking for because they introduced artifactual recombination. So when he would take the virus, sequence the genome, and then look at the data, he couldn't tell where the recombination was coming from. So was the product of the sequencing technology that he was using at the time, or was it something that the virus did itself? So he had to get to thinking, how can I modify these technologies that are already established in order to remove this artifactual recombination that is generated from the standard sequencing technologies? And so he thought of coming up with a way to use click chemistry in order to remove that artifactual recombination. So click chemistry is a chemistry-based linkage system. So you take a modified hexanol group and a iazide group, and you put these compounds together in the presence of copper, and they create an azide ring. This is a way to link the different types of compounds together. And because we're using chemistry, it's a very specific chemistry that only links azides and alkyne groups together. And so what this did was it removed a lot of the artifactual recombination that the other techniques were incorporating into the sequencing data. And so Andrew had invented this technology, and he was using it for his own research. So at that time, his development process was, I have this very specific problem, and I need to figure out a way to solve it. So a year or so later, Andrew finished his postdoc, and he was looking for PI positions, and he came to UTMB as a PI, and that's when I joined his lab, and I joined on the project of studying viral recombination, and he taught me this technique, and I got super excited about it. It was really critical for us to do the types of studies that we were trying to do, and it significantly reduced these artifacts that we were so desperately trying to get rid of. So what makes ClickSeq different than other platforms, coming back to your original question, is based on the click chemistry reaction, we are able to get higher quality sequencing data. And so while I've been talking a lot about this type of technique for the very specific application of viral recombination, this type of technology can be used in any type of RNA sequencing. And we've been able to prove that in a wide variety of different applications.
That's actually really impressive how your PI started this whole thing. I've used the click chemistry for certain things like fluorescent stainings or lipid peroxidation. I've never seen it used in terms of sequencing.
Yeah, so it's just a chemistry used to attach two different compounds together. So it has a wide variety of different applications, just like you said. People use it for protein-to-protein conjugation, protein-to-RNA conjugation, for pull-downs, fluoroscopy. It could be used in so many different chemical and biological reactions. You know, it can be used in lots of different biological reactions, which makes it a super exciting and versatile platform. And people have done just that, like, they'll figure out what they need to attach on a compound for whatever use they have. And there's probably hundreds of different applications that people are currently using it for. I'm not sure if Andrew was the first person to use it for RNA or DNA. I believe he wasn't, but he was the first person to use it for this type of application, for applying it for making next generation sequencing libraries. And so, you know, that was super exciting for us. And at the time when he invented it, Andrew wasn't really thinking to make this into a commercial product. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in that mindset that I have this problem and I just need to figure out how to solve this thing. And that was the end of it. He wanted to be a PI. He was really into academics and just pushing the boundary of science and exploration. And so it was a very organic way of developing this product.
I see. So this is just to do the library preparation. So is that like basically doing the reverse transcription of your RNA to the cDNA and then sequencing that downstream onto like a standard platform? How does this work exactly?
Yes, that's exactly correct. So the way that ClickSeq works is we take standard biological samples and we extract the genomic material out of it. And then we apply our click chemistry protocol to it, which does exactly what you just said. You reverse transcribe the RNA into a cDNA template, and we terminate that RT reaction, the reverse transcription reaction, using azetonucleotides that contain that very important compound that I was mentioning earlier.
Right.
We then apply another cDNA oligo that has the alkyne group. Mm-hmm. And then in the presence of copper, those two molecules will join. And what we've effectively done is we have a copy of the RNA template that we were targeting and that has the sequencing adapters attached onto it. And then we finish the protocol using standard PCR techniques and a couple of other steps. But then the final product is a product that's compatible with your standard sequencing machines. Like Illumina is the biggest player in the market right now. And so... That's the platform that we use. You know, we've proven compatibility with other sequencing platforms like Oxford Nanopore's platform. The MinION is something that we've used as well using this technique.
Awesome. So this whole technique that you're using, is it widely accepted method in the scientific community?
We haven't had pushback yet. Okay. Whether it's widely accepted, yes, I think it is. Not so many people know about it yet.
Right.
We're trying to expand people's knowledge. You know, we've gone to a few conferences. We published quite a few papers using the technology. Our customers are starting to publish their research. You know, I think the knowledge base is growing, but nobody has ever looked at it and said, no, this is crazy or it doesn't work. And we spent a lot of time validating and proving that we are reducing artifactual recombination, that we're not getting a lot of PCR duplicates, that we have high quality scores in our data. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, this is a business, but we're also fundamentally academics, right? So we believe in that integrity of our product, of what we're doing for the goal of getting the right answers. So we spent a lot of time optimizing these things and ensuring that we have a high quality output.
So are there any other companies that are doing exactly what you guys are doing?
So it's kind of a twofold answer. There is another company, one of our collaborators. It's a company called BaseClick. So they're located in Germany. They own a lot of click chemistry type products. Their main focus is the conjugation of proteins and fluorescence, and they offer click chemistry compounds. We work closely with them. They have nothing like what we have for RNA sequencing specifically. They have a long read sequencing kit out there. So as far as using click chemistry for sequencing, I don't think there's anybody else besides SpaceClick for their long read sequencing application. And then part of our sequencing technology is we have a 3' UTR sequencing application with a product that we call Poly-A ClickSeq. This specific kit is used for transcriptomics, so gene counting and alternative polyadenylation site selection type studies. And I think there's only like one or two competitors doing that type of thing, but they're not using click chemistry.
Right. Really cool. Do you guys sell the kits for people to do like your guys' protocol in their own lab, or do we have to submit samples directly to you?
So we do both.
Okay.
It just depends on the capabilities of that lab and their time and resources. So we initially started as a service company where customers would send us their biological sample, and then we would just send them data back. Whether that data was analyzed or not just depended on their capabilities. But we were full service. Send us RNA, we'll get you all the data analyzed, if that's what you wanted.
So the bioinformatics as well?
We also do bioinformatics. So my co-founder, Andrew, is brilliant.
Okay.
He not only invented ClickSeq itself, but he's a great, you know, chemist, biologist, research scientist. He's also a bioinformatician. He wrote a lot of the programs that we use and the algorithms that we use to do the actual data analysis pipelines. We use a combination of already established pipelines, you know, the mapping, stuff like that. But when it comes to analyzing the data, there's some nuances in what we do. And so he wrote a bunch of algorithms and programs for data analysis as well.
That's very impressive. And it's actually useful to have someone to have a bioinformatics background for you to customize the analysis to your platform.
Yeah, it's definitely been a blessing for us because, you know, when we speak to customers, we know every nook and cranny of what we're doing. Not only are we very intimate with the protocol of what's happening with your samples every single step of the way, but then the data analysis part is just as critical. And so by having somebody like Andrew, who's physically written a lot of the code to do this type of stuff, we know exactly why things are happening, for what reason, and why we're selecting certain parameters. So
yeah. So who are your current clients right now? Are they local labs from academic institutions?
Yeah, so a lot of our client acquisition has been done through word of mouth and previous research acquaintances. So people that we've met in conferences, collaborators, people who read our papers and are interested in doing what we do to get the same similar types of data. I would say 90% of them come from academia. So mainly it's researchers. We've had a couple of commercial entities come approach us too, but they are doing it from a research standpoint. So they're trying to develop their own product, need some R&D or validation that their therapeutic is working in a certain way. It's a mix of academics and commercial companies, but ultimately it's, so far it's been a research tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense because sequencing is a lot of the time is mostly used by research labs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned quite a bit about ClickSeq and your company. Now I want to switch gear a little bit and talk more about yourself. So my first question is, when you started your PhD program, what was your plan after obtaining the degree? Do you know what you wanted to do and whether you know that you wanted to get into bioentrepreneurship?
So I did not know. I came into the PhD having no idea what I wanted to do. I think I changed career wants or career paths probably like 10 times or more throughout the years. So what I was doing in the first couple of years, I would go to a seminar where some industry person would tell us about what they did. And industry doesn't, I don't mean like industry as in like a pharma company. Like we had a biotech patent person come in and tell us what they did. We had like a CPA even who worked on providing tax returns for biotech companies. So I would go and I'd listen to all these people talk about their careers. And after everyone, I was like, oh, that's cool. I could see myself doing that. That's interesting. So I was constantly like trying to figure out what I wanted to do. There was a point where I wanted to be a project manager for clinical trials. I wanted to do this find tax breaks for companies. It really just depended on who inspired me in these talks at the time. So yeah, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I've always been somebody that just takes advantage of opportunities that are presented to me, which is kind of exactly how ClickSeek started. Is I've always liked business, but I was never like, I'm going to start my own company in biotech.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually started a business before or during grad school, but I never thought that that would be my career path in the science aspect. But when I joined Andrew's lab and I saw this technology, it immediately sparked that interest of like, wow, this could be a commercial product. This is super cool. Why aren't we selling this? Why isn't this patented? Why isn't this a business already? That to me, that was me just taking an opportunity that was in my face and just running with it.
So were you the one that came up with the idea to commercialize this whole process?
I would say yes. It was funny when I first started proposing this, that's the kind of conversations that I was having with Andrew. I was like, Andrew, this is so cool. Do you know how many things that we could use this for? This is the best technique I've ever seen. And I'm sure I was very naive at the time, but I was excited about it. It worked really well for what we were doing. And I saw all these different applications that we could use it for. And at the time, Andrew kind of, he didn't laugh at me, but he was like, yeah, this is cool. And he fed off my passion for wanting to do this. And he told me when I first approached him about it, he was like, you know, I don't really care to make a company out of this. I really love academics. I really love doing science to push the boundary of our knowledge. I'm not really a business guy, but I'm going to support you through this process. If you want to go move forward with this, do it. I'll help you in whatever way I can. So I was very fortunate to find somebody that, although he wasn't that interested in it at the time, he was very supportive in what my passions were and what I wanted to do. So moving forward, you know, I started researching what it would take to build a biotech company. I got with Inventure, actually, which I could credit a lot of my success to. So I met Emily, who introduced me to one of the Inventure programs here in Houston called BioVentures. So this is one of these 10-week programs where we go through and develop a pitch for whatever product you have. And so that forced me into figuring out all the details of what it would actually take to make a company. It was a rough 10 weeks, but I learned so much. And through that process, Andrew started getting more excited about, you know, the commercial viability of what we're doing. And, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion of like, wow, this could actually be something. And at the same time, we were also modifying the foundational ClickSeq technologies, which is the protocol used for standard RNA-seq, and identifying new applications. So we invented Poly-A ClickSeq, which is the 3' end transcriptomic application that we have as well. We patented that method, and that's when we were like, this is something that we really want to do, and let's do it. So we got all the legal documents, we filed for company formation, and Andrew got on board and has been an incredible co-founder. You know, it went from him not being too interested to he's really into this business venture now. It was a fun journey for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you met him at the right time because now a lot more people can take advantage of this technology.
Yeah. It's fun. So we're, you know, we're still progressing and he's still an academic PI at UTMB doing fantastic work, you know, viral recombination. We have been doing some, you know, in this era right now, COVID sequencing. He's still developing ClickSeq, optimizing it in the lab to help us do what we need to that we're translating into it being a commercial product. So we actually have a COVID-specific sequencing kit now.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Which is super exciting. We're about to publish the paper here soon. So if you're interested in that, keep posted.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was fun. You know, we got some internal UTMB funds to further develop the product. So UTMB as an institution was pretty supportive of us. Mm. You know, they gave us some money to optimize ClickSeq and PolyClickSeq and to develop a kit so that it would be applicable for not just only people that want to send us samples, but people that want to do it in their own research labs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I graduated in August of 2018. I stayed on as a part-time postdoc and part-time founder running ClickSeq for another year and a half after that.
I see.
It was great. It was such a fun journey. It was difficult, but it was really fun.
Yeah, and I'm glad InVenture had helped you in that journey. And that's the reason why we started InVenture in San Antonio, because we want to bring some of that values outside of Houston. So is this whole starting up your own biotech company, is that what inspired you to take your role at TMCX right now?
I would definitely say yes. I really enjoyed taking this brilliant man's ideas, right? This idea for ClickSeq and figuring out how to make it into something that's viable. And so I don't know if at the time that's what I knew I wanted to do, but as I'm going through this process of the biodesign fellowship at TMC Innovations, I'm starting to realize that this is something that I truly enjoy doing. There's so many brilliant people out there that have great ideas, so many academics that come up with these solutions to very real problems, but they either don't have the time or the business mindset to be able to translate that into a commercial product. And so I think this is what makes me excited, is to take this thing that has potential commercial applications and figuring out how to modify that or optimize whatever they're doing and matching it with what the market needs, what consumers need, what the users need, and what's economically feasible. And I feel like it's this really interesting dance and art of picking out what's important and using that information to drive the development of a product or a company.
Yeah, I think scientists have really great ideas. It's just we just need to normalize this or embed this idea in them that they can commercialize those ideas.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's tough because, you know, as an academic or as an inventor, generally people invent things that solve the problem that they have very specifically. Mm-hmm. But those problems don't always translate into something that's like big and commercial. Like them and a handful of other people might be the only ones that have the problem. And so I love coming across inventors who have solved these things. But I think sometimes what they fail to realize is this, the fact that it needs, for it to be commercial and to be a big thing, is it has to apply to a lot of people. And so while their problem is a very real problem because they spent the time to invent it, it's the realization that it needs to apply to a wide population of people. And so that's where I want to help these people.
Mm-hmm. Just to broaden expand the usage or the application of whatever idea they came up with.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, whatever they have, the foundation is fantastic. It's brilliant. It's amazing work that they do. It's just, like I said, it's just optimizing it to open the applicability of whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like I said, working with Andrew has kind of helped me realize, like, you know, what that mindset is like and figuring out how to extract that inventor's mind into thinking about things in a big, broad category or broad range of ideas, right? Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about this biodesign pipeline? I guess if you want to utilize that service, like, how do we get involved?
Biodesign is a program offered by TMC Innovations. It's a one-year fellowship where they take entrepreneurs within the medical innovation space to go through the process of identifying any unmet clinical need, figuring out if there's a potential solution to solve that unmet clinical need, if there's a business around that need and the solution of that need, and then ultimately forming a company around the product that we develop. So we spend the first third of the year doing clinical rotations in the hospital, in clinics, in anything medical related. And we just observe people in their day-to-day interactions, and we talk to people and figure out what are their biggest problems. We come up with this giant list of needs or potential things that need solutions. And we whittle them down based on feasibility of a solution and what the market looks like. And is this a problem that people actually have? And then we end up selecting one need and moving forward with coming up with inventions or device designs or software designs to solve that whatever problem we've identified. And then by the end of the year, the plan is to have a fully functional company, a prototype, some proof of concept studies. And in years past, a lot of the biodesign companies have been able to raise investment funds within the year. It's a very accelerated company formation process, and it's done under the umbrella of TMC. So we have access to the incredible network that's available to us here in Houston.
That sounds wonderful.
So if we're interested in that program, is that anybody can apply for?
Yes, we like to have applicants that are experienced enough and motivated enough in entrepreneurship, because the ultimate goal is to actually start companies. They don't treat this as an academic exercise. It's not a one-year learning. It is learning, but the goal is to have a functional company at the end. So they want people who are serious about being a founder, about taking this all the way. And so if that's you, then I highly encourage you to apply to this. You can find information on the TMC Biodesign website, and I think on our LinkedIn. It's an incredible opportunity for fresh PhD students or fresh postdocs or people that have a little bit of industry experience that are just motivated to help solve the world's problems.
Yeah, that does sound like an amazing opportunity for young professionals. Speaking of young professionals, what advice do you have for young professionals and graduate students that are interested in the life science innovation space?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say, don't be afraid to follow your passion. Go after the thing that you care about. A lot of this stuff seems risky, and especially in like entrepreneurship, there's uncertainty. But the way I think about it is, what's the worst that can happen? You go through this process, you learn something, and it doesn't work. So what? The journey of getting to that point, you've learned so much valuable experience. And that's something that nobody can take away from you. So my advice is, if somebody wants to get into this industry or any industry, right, is follow what you're passionate about. Put in the extra work, and it won't feel like work because it's something that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just to have an open mind about what are the possibilities.
Yeah.
Because we go into a program for a specific degree, but that doesn't mean that you have to stick with it for the rest of your life.
Absolutely not. I think that the PhD or any type of research, you learn so many skill sets that could be applicable in so many different industries. I mean, when you're a researcher, when you're a PhD, you're not only reading and actually becoming a subject matter expert in that and whatever your field is, but you're also gaining the skills of project management, time management, working with other people, the ultimate skills. You're learning how to internalize and understand very complex information very quickly. You have presentation skills every time you have to tell people about your project. You have to figure out how to convey that information in an understandable manner. And on all these little things that I'm talking about can be applied to whatever you go into. Ultimately, you are somebody that can learn something very quickly, digest it, and turn it around into something that's successful. And I think that's one thing that we as PhDs need to, you know, really be comfortable with, is I'm not just the subject matter expert. I'm this very multidisciplinary person with skills beyond belief, right? I can do so much. And people do so much. PhDs do incredible things.
Yeah. So I think that it's a good part to stop. And I believe that's our last question. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask if you have any concluding remarks or any last things you want to say to our audience.
Yeah, I would say I appreciate you guys inviting me to chat and share a little bit of my story. I'm open if anybody wants to contact me and reach out. Reach out to people to talk to them is what I like to tell people. People in this industry are super friendly. So if somebody is doing something that you find exciting, go talk to them and ask them about what they do if you're unsure. You know, I offer myself if anybody wants to chat more or get to know my story a little bit more or look for advice. I love talking to people and I hope to inspire future PhDs and other people in the industry to do something that they're passionate about.
Yeah. Thank you for offering that because I love informational interview because I feel like there's a lot more questions that can be answered one-on-one if you're talking to someone who is doing something that you want to potentially do in the future.
Great.
All right. Thank you so much for coming to our podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a great pleasure to chat with you both.
Thank you for listening to the 6th episode of the Inventure San Antonio Life Science Innovation Podcast. You just listened to Dr. Elizabeth Jaworski, co-founder and CEO of ClickSeek Technologies. After this episode, I hope you realize that a bio-entrepreneur does not necessarily have to be the inventor. A bio-entrepreneur can be someone like Elizabeth who saw an opportunity to commercialize an idea. If that is something that interests you, you can join one of Inventure's entrepreneurship events to get a taste of life science innovation.